assassins.org.
How you doing, Max?
Eric, great to speak with you, my friend. Awesome. I know the listeners have been waiting with bated breath here. Can't wait to hear what news Mr. Phelps can bestow upon us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Eric. I know the listeners are dying to know a little bit about yourself and how you got into this into this level of research. And then we can kind of see where it takes us. Talk about this dog and pony show that's going to happen tomorrow. You can tell us what you know about these guys. And so I'll give you the floor. You know, my show, I can talk anytime I want to. But you, this is an awesome experience. So take it away.
Okay, pleasure to be with you and your listeners tonight. I got interested in this topic while I was in Bible college from 77 to 79, and it started out with studying the Illuminati.
Mm.
And I read a book by Arnold Gabelline called Conflict of the Ages. And in that, Arnold Gabelline, who was a very godly Hebrew Christian, he wrote several very good works. He talked about the Illuminati and its connection to the Bolshevik Revolution. He says, and no one will ever really know who was behind the Bolshevik Revolution. But he took it from the mystery of iniquity to the Garden of Eden to the present. And it was a very good work. It's a classic. And from there, I met a historian named Rembert Carter, who was a professor there who had a special class on the Lincoln assassination. And in his bibliography of the works that he recommended a book titled The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, written by a lady, Burke McCarty, in 1924. And in that, she showed that the Jesuits were the masters of the Lincoln assassination. And this brought me to the question, well, were the Jesuits the ones behind the Kennedy assassination? Because I was 10 years old when that happened, and happened in my when I was in class in the fourth grade, and I happened to be in love with my fourth grade teacher, Miss Beals, and when I saw her crying her eyes out, it deeply affected me. And so that made me wonder, you know, what happened. And when I saw LBJ being sworn in on a Roman Catholic missile there on Air Force One with Knight of Malta, what's his name? Jack Valenti, sitting in the background, LBJ winking at him. I knew that something was very wrong as a young boy then. So the other thing was the conspiracy to supplant the King James Bible with any other Bible that was born out of the Westcott-Hort subversive committee in the mid-1800s with the intent of replacing the AB 1611 with the English Revised Version, which was the Jesuit Order's plot to destroy the British Empire. To destroy the British Empire, you had to get rid of the King James Bible. And then they had the Mercersburg movement here, and then the committee here in the U.S. that ultimately gave us the American Standard Version. So it was the English Revised Version in England and the American Standard Version here, the Jesuits supplanting the King James in both those countries with these heresies to the intent of destroying the Reformation. And so with those things that were on my mind, I thought I need to study on the Jesuit order and show that the Jesuits were behind the Kennedy assassination. But to do that, I had to go back to the beginning of the order in 1534 and trace its history up to the present. So that's how I got started.
Wow, absolutely amazing story. You mentioned even a few Easter eggs in there with the, I guess those are the Kennedy assassination and the Lincoln assassination are connected, you say, by the Jesuits?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The leading Jesuit in the Lincoln assassination was a man named Bernardine F. Wiget. And Bernardine F. Wiget was a Swiss Jesuit. And when the Jesuits were kicked out of Switzerland in 1848, right around there, many of them came to the U.S., and Bernardine F. Wiget was one of them. And so he was there at Georgetown. He was a confessor of Mary Surratt. He knew John Surratt. And, of course, they were the overseers of the assassination. They met in the Surratt house there in Washington to plan the assassination. And John Wilkes Booth was part of that. So you have the leading Jesuit, Bernardine F. Wiget, and I have a picture of him in my book, overseeing the Lincoln assassination. And you have a leading Jesuit, McSorley, out of Georgetown, who was very much involved in the Kennedy assassination. In fact, McSorley became the confessor to Jackie Kennedy after the assassination. So you, Richard McSorley. So that's, those are the two primary Jesuits openly involved in with a hand involved in those assassinations.
Wow, wow. And this is the first time I've heard, you know, either of those names. So they must be, you know, sitting behind the guys, behind the guys, behind the guys, it seems like, because we've heard, you know, different names, of course, like Frank Sturgis and, you know, George H.W. Bush and the, you know, these other Nixon cronies that, you know, were on the ground in Dealey Plaza that day. Yeah. So it sounds like we got to cut to a break real quick. Eric, thank you so much for coming on today. We'll be right back, and we're going to dive back into the Jesuits. We'll talk a little bit about your book and go from there.
Okay.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. We can't pay you for sharing and tweeting us on Facebook and Twitter, but we will love you for it. Find links on our website at revealingtalkradio.com and follow us today.
G'day, this is Timmy from the Timmy Down Under Show. I'm an Aussie bloke keeping it real on the Gold Coast of Australia. Check me out each week right here on Revealing Talk Radio. We've got the Aussie perspective. I'll be here waiting for you.
If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We are looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
And we're back. RevealingTalkRadio.com presents Decrypted Matrix with the one and the only Mr. Eric John Phelps of the VaticanAssassins.org. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. You had just given us an awesome and thorough intro, crash course intro to the Jesuits, you know, founding in 1535. And then a couple of the names that you mentioned, Bernardine F. Wiggett and Richard Sorley.
McSorley.
Thank you.
They were founded in 1534.
1534. Okay.
In Paris. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent. So VaticanAssassins.org is the website. I hear you have a book. I know you mentioned the book. Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay. I released my first manuscript in 1999. And then the second manuscript about 2000. And it's about this time F. Tupper Saucy comes out with his Rulers of Evil, who I consider to be a Jesuit coadjutor. Because in his book he defends the Jesuits and their right to rule the world. Even though he does say some things that are correct. But he comes out with his Rulers of Evil about the same time I come out with my manuscript. And then in 2001, I published the first book, which is what... 693 pages, 96 pages, something like that. And then I had my book sabotaged on my computer. So I decided that that made me mad. So I decided if that's what's going to be done to me, I'm going to triple my sources. So it took me another 6 years, to further improve it. So in 2007, I released my third edition of Vatican Assassins, which was 1,836 pages with 760 pictures and portraits. And I increased my sources of about one-third to further validate and verify my conclusions.
Wow. Absolutely impressive. Sounds like a work in progress for sure. Well, let's take a quick step back because I think for the listeners, they want to know what this coadjutor word is. I have a feeling that means supporter or like a crony, affiliate. Explain what you mean because I see that as a heavily used keyword on your website, okay. Coadjutor.
Actually, it's a coadjutor.
Coadjutor, okay.
Coadjutor. And it can be either way, coadjutor or coadjutor. When I was talking to this Jesuit coadjutor not far from here in Wilmelsdorf with the Jesuit Spiritual Center, I developed a friendship with a Jesuit named Brother Suds, who's now deceased. But he corrected me on the term. It was coadjutor. That's how they pronounce it. So a coadjutor is someone who is a Jesuit operative, but he's not a priest.
Oh, okay.
So you can find them in all walks of life. Bill Clinton is a Jesuit coadjutor. He was trained by Jesuits at Georgetown. He was their favorite. He was not liked by the senior class of his year because he was too close to the Jesuits. But Bill Clinton was a complete and total Jesuit coadjutor and did everything he was told to do.
Wow, I heard the captain of the Titanic was a Jesuit coadjutor. Was that
That's
true?
That's right.
Wow.
That's correct. Mr. Smith.
Wow, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith.
So that I think a lot of my fans are familiar maybe with the conspiracy behind the Titanic, but why don't we dive into that? Because I find that really interesting. What's the short version of why the Jesuits took down the Titanic and what was the reason they did that for?
They took down the Titanic because there were certain wealthy American Jews that were against the Federal Reserve Act.
Oh. And
Guggenheim, of the founder of the Guggenheim Museum in New York City. Then you have the head of Macy's, Isidore Strauss. And then you have John Jacob Astor, who was the richest man on board the ship. And all three of these men are against the Federal Reserve Act. So the Jesuits had to get rid of the opposition to their Federal Reserve Act. So they used their key Jesuit coadjutor and head of the American Empire's banking, who was J. Pierpont Morgan. And J. Pierpont Morgan owned the White Star Line, of which Titanic was part of that line.
I also heard that they may have even conveniently switched the Titanic and the Olympic and actually sunk Olympic, and Titanic went to live on as the Olympic, but actually they somehow got the insurance money too, I heard.
Yeah, I've heard that rendition, but I really don't believe that. Titanic was built to be sunk.
Oh, okay.
When it went out on its maiden voyage, it listed to the port side, I believe. So it only was out for 8 hours on its maiden voyage. It couldn't survive any much longer than that. And so and when it left the port there in Ireland, when it left Queenstown to cross the Atlantic, there was a fire below the decks. So they were already sabotaging the ship. So by the time it got to the ice field of icebergs, all they had to do was hit one of the icebergs, which they did when they swung the ship to the side and deliberately hit the iceberg. So they definitely built it to sink, and they sunk it. And when they put the flares on the ship, they replaced the emergency flares that were red with white flares, so that if they had to blast off their flares as a cry for help to other ships in the area, the ships would see that why they're having a party. These are white flares and not red flares. So that was that was one of the things they did. Mm-hmm. And then they had some sabotage in the radio room. It was just one thing after another that I document in my book.
Wow, of course. Got to check that one out. If you're out there, we'll say it again for the new listeners who just joined, VaticanAssassins.org/store. You can check out Mr. Book, constantly revised. What's the most recent copy? As you said, 1,600 pages now?
1,836 pages.
With even more sources than before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely awesome. I've got a question coming in. Somebody wants me to ask about the quote, "Get off that ship, provincial." I'm not sure really what that means in the frame of context, but why don't you explain?
Yes. Francis M. Brown was a Jesuit novice at the time, and his brother was also a Jesuit, and he was the nephew of the bishop there in Ireland. Well, he was sent to Titanic by the bishop to photograph all the first-class passengers. And when one of the first-class passengers asked him if he would like to have his passage paid to New York, he said, well, I'll have to ask my provincial. Well, he sent a message to his provincial, and the provincial sent out a reply of four words: get off that ship. And so he got off. Francis M. Brown went on to be a World War II notable soldier for the English in, I think, the Battle of the Somme. He went on to be a very notable Jesuit in Ireland and England. And, of course, because he was involved in the sinking of Titanic.
Wow. You know, what comes to mind with that is, you know, these FBI agents that got mysterious text messages telling them not to show up for work mm-hmm. at the World Trade Centers that mm-hmm. morning before it happened. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
And you have to remember, the overseer of the World Trade Center demolition was George J. Tenet. And George J. Tenet is a Knight of Malta. He was the director of Central Intelligence, and he was also on staff of the National Security Council. So that Knight of Malta was a very key figure in facilitating that demolition so that the Muslims could be blamed, so that Rome could ignite their 12th crusade against Islam, and particularly Shia Islam, if they're going to unite the Sunnis against the West.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who else could have that power to allow no photographs at a crime scene, no one can look or touch the crime scene evidence, and we're going to pick it all up and ship it away using controlled demolition to China, and burn it and destroy it.
And we're going to use controlled demolition, the same company that was used to demolish the Murrah Building in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yep, absolutely. Tell us about the Knights of Malta. We keep talking about that. I think some of the listeners might be unfamiliar. Give us the crash course on Knights of Malta.
Knights of Malta were the first crusading order created by the papacy in 1048 or so. And they were involved in the first crusade in 1099 to take Jerusalem away from the Muslims, from the Saracens. And so they were a crusading order founded by Blessed Gerard. And this crusading order, it was a military order. And they were later called, they were first called the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, the Hospitallers. And they were called the Knights of Rhodes when they were driven out of the Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. They stayed at Rhodes, and then ultimately they moved to Malta. And there they were called the Knights of Malta. And they're a sovereign nation. They have ambassadors to many countries in the world. Their headquarters is in Rome. And the Knights of Malta have their own passports. So they can travel anywhere on their Knights of Malta passports.
Oh, my. Wow. That's news to me. I did not know that.
And some of the most notorious Knights of Malta, and I'm sure your listeners are aware of, are actors like Anthony Hopkins, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Cruise, Bruce Willis, Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson. Many of your top male actors in Hollywood are all Knights of Malta.
Wow. You know, I did assume that, you know, they're probably brought into the fold in some level or another. My guess is that they're told just enough to be dangerous. Maybe they're told and made to feel special that, oh, you're one of us now. But I have a feeling they're still kept at, you know, kind of the outside of the circle, not the inner circle. What do you think about that?
Well, that's probably true to a certain degree. But when they start rubbing shoulders with predominant Knights of Malta, like some of the monarchs and some of the nobility of Europe, then they know that when they rub shoulders with the Rothschilds, who are Catholic, and Knights of Malta, and have married into families like the Aldobrandinis and the Borgias and the Farnese's, these are the families of power, the 10 Roman families of power. All of them are Knights of Malta, Knights of the Equestrian Order. And they do the ruling of all the banking, all the politics, all the intelligence communities, and goes right down to entertainment.
Yep, entertainment.
Frank Capra was a Knight of Malta.
Wow, didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that. Let's see. Oh, about this election. That's a good entertainment, because that's what we're seeing right now. That's all it is. The illusion of democracy, the illusion of choice. Oh, puppet A or puppet B. They're probably both Knights of Malta. Maybe not. What do you think? What do you know about these two knuckleheads?
Well, they're both Masons.
Of course. Okay.
Barry Davis. Marshall Davis, the communist out of Chicago, who hated white people. Very much involved in the uncivil rights movement. And so he was the real father, the real tutor of Obama for 10 years in Hawaii. And this Obama senior is nothing more than a CIA cutout to give the illusion that Obama's father was somebody other than the real father. But he is a Prince Hall Rite Freemason. And Mitt Romney's a Mormon Freemason. So they're all members of the Masonic Lodge. Secretly working together to give the illusion that there are elections when there are no elections. There have been elections in this country since probably no later than JFK.
Wow. Wow. So, let's back up real quick to Obama's father. I missed the name that you had said about his father.
His father's Frank Marshall Davis.
Frank Marshall Davis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Frank Marshall Davis.
He was affiliated with Saul Alinsky, another a Jewish communist in Chicago. And it's very intriguing that the connection of Bill Ayers to Obama is a result of this, because Bill Ayers is quote-unquote off to the left, yet his father is a high-level CIA intelligence operative.
I was going to say, I thought there was this CIA connection with Obama, because doesn't he have two missing years at Columbia? The insiders are saying
that's correct.
Yeah, he's a CIA agent. Yeah.
Absolutely, a CIA creation. See, and this is what the Pope's CIA wants. They want a quote-unquote left-wing. There's no left-right. It's all top-down, you know. But for the sake of being, you know, familiar with this, they create this left-wing socialist communist Jewish black entity that's left-wing. And Obama's going to represent that, and he's backed by all these quote-unquote Jews, and they're papal court Jews,
yep.
like Saul Alinsky and others, his campaign manager, and then Rahm Emanuel. These are all left court, left wing papal court Jews and leading blacks. And then you have the right wing whites that are the Fox News boys. So you have the left wing socialist communist CNN and MSNBC and the right wing Fox News, John Birch Society, etc. But the Jesuits and the CIA control both factions. So that the synthesis of their Hegelian dialectic will be completely in their hands.
Absolutely, both sides.
And the synthesis they want here is right-wing fascism. So, and my wife just told me this evening, it's reported that the voting machines are registering for Obama when people are voting for Romney. I said, why, of course. That's exactly what I said.
Of course.
They're going to put Obama in for another 4 years, and they're going to drive the white people of this country to utter desperation, and then to drive them into right-wing fascism, into the arms of somebody like Jesse Ventura, who just recently announced his candidacy for presidency in 2016.
Oh, my.
the end game is right-wing socialist fascism here, because they have 6 million Jews to kill in North America.
Wow.
And you never kill Jews in the name of communism. You always kill Jews in the name of fascism.
Interesting. Let's cut back to the missing 2 years. Obama, well, you're saying we might have another 4 years. What about these missing 2 years? Any idea where he was in those 2 years?
Well, I'm sure he was traveling around under CIA orders to Indonesia and to Pakistan and to all these places.
Ah, likely. So you mentioned some names. Obama's white papal masters. I think you mentioned a few of them in this last explanation. You had an amazing article, the Obama's white papal masters, that just kind of names, you know, every single one of them, their connections, and, you know, goes right down the chain. What are the most significant ones for the readers who haven't seen that article? That's huge on the internet, but there's still some who haven't seen it yet. What are the big names that you'll find on there for the listeners who are just tuning in?
One of the names is Greg Galuzzo. Greg Galuzzo was a Jesuit in Chicago that for whom Obama worked, for whom Barry Davis worked, when Davis was in the Gamaliel Foundation. So Greg Galuzzo founded the Gamaliel Foundation for which Obama then worked in Chicago. Greg Aluzzo is, quote-unquote, no more a Jesuit, but you never cease to be a Jesuit when you're a high Jesuit. And then there's other men like Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the creator of bin Laden, is also another creator of Obama.
Brzezinski, yep. I remember he's responsible for genocide and all kinds of things.
Oh, he's an Ada Malta. He's most beloved of the Jesuits. He has honorary degrees from Georgetown and a few Holy Cross, I think, and a few others. I named that. So he is a complete and total foreigner, traitor, Roman Catholic, Knight of Malta, CFR member, Bilderberger, trilateralist. That's a criminal, just like Henry Kissinger. And he is one of the creators of Obama. Another one is Joseph A. O'Hare. Joseph A. O'Hare is a former head of Fordham University. He's a presider at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. Joseph A. O'Hare is one responsible for putting Michael Bloomberg in the office as the mayor of New York City, that papal court Jew. And so he's another master of Obama. And when you saw Obama and Romney at the Al Smith dinner.
Hold that thought, Eric. We're going to cut to a break. We'll be right back, and we'll go dive into the Black Pope as well. Can't wait to hear you talk about that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We are looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102.
Variety is a spice of life, and why not spice up your life with a Joe Show on Revealing Talk Radio? Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Joe Show goes live and brings you a variety of guests. We have guests such as celebrities, authors, comedians, musicians, and so much more. All this only on the Joe Show, live Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Revealing Talk Radio.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems Show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're here, you're live. This is RevealingTalkRadio.com, presenting Decrypted Matrix with your host, Max Maverick. I have the amazing opportunity and fortune to interview Mr. Eric John Phelps from VaticanAssassins.org. He was just explaining the history of the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta. I've just realized, Eric, I'm thinking to myself, we're never going to get to everything tonight. So I've got to ask, Eric, would you be willing to come back on next Monday where we can continue this discussion? I don't think we're going to get to it all tonight.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, let's hit the ground running here. I would love to have you explain just a little bit about the Black Pope. But first, I think you were on a roll. You were going to tell us some stuff about Romney. Let it loose. What do we need to know about Mr. Willard Romney?
Well, Romney is the most devoted Mormon, and the Jesuits are the ones who established Mormonism with Joseph Smith shortly after the great Masonic schism here in America, where 50,000 Northern Masons left the lodge in the 1820s. And when Brigham Young was taking his Mormons west, he met with one of the foremost Jesuits in the country, whose name was Pierre de Schmitt, and they met at Council Bluffs. And there, de Schmitt directed Brigham Young to take his Mormons up to the Great Salt Flats in Idaho, Utah Territory. So the Mormonism is a creation of the Jesuit order for several purposes, and one of the purposes is to keep track of the world's Jews through their genealogical records. And that's why they store them 500 feet underground under solid rock, granite.
Mm.
So it's a Masonic organization, and I just reviewed some of their doctrines in a very good work titled Secrets Mormons Don't Want You to Know by Richard and Cindy Benson. And it's a very good book. I highly recommend it. You can purchase it at Schick Publications. But Romney's a Mason, just like the Mormon prophet and the 12 apostles. They're all Freemasons. You have Masonic symbols on the Mormon temple in Utah. And Scottish Rite Freemasonry, and now all Freemasonry, is subject to the Jesuit General because they wrote all the high rites. They've infiltrated it all that they didn't create, and they control the craft worldwide now. So that regardless of if they're black Freemasons of Prince Hall Rite or Scottish Rite or Grand Orient or York Rite, whatever it is, the Jesuits control every facet of Freemasonry for the purpose of bringing more and more temporal power to the Pope of Rome.
Oh.
Romney's part of it.
Interesting. So that goes for the magic underwear too, right? I mean,
these
Masonic symbols are on the magic underwear.
Compass in the square.
It's
called the holy underwear.
Wow.
Some Mormon holy underwear actually has a Baphomet on it. I have that picture too.
Oh, the horned goat, the Baphomet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baphomet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you know, some of the low level ones, they probably don't even know. Have no idea where these symbols come from. No idea what you know.
No. Now, when you become a member of the Order of Melchizedek after they've anointed your privates in the silver bowl, which nobody talks about, in the Mormon temple, then you get that special holy underwear with a Baphomet.
Yeah. Great. Well, enough about the holy underwear and the Mormons. Let's jump back to the election here real quick because it's so relevant. I mean, what happens tomorrow? What do we need to know, or what should the listeners know as far as, you know, the Jesuit manipulation here, you know, from a high level, as far as what do you see happening after the election? I know some listeners are curious about this, you know, the timeline on the war with Iran. Do you know a specific timeline? It sounds like they're both on that war bandwagon, and Iran seems to be next on the list.
That's true. No, first of all, they're going to put Barry back in office, and there's going to be evident voter tampering, and this is intended to unite all the white people regardless of their religion, particularly Catholics and Protestants and Baptists. It's an ecumenical movement of Rome to unite them politically. Okay. So it's going to further divide the blacks and the whites. You're going to have the blacks and the Democratic side all backing Obama, what 95% of them voted for Obama. And you're going to have the whites, most of them voting for Romney. And when there's this obvious fraud, it's going to infuriate the whites. Okay. You couple this with and remember the real master of Obama. You remember Obama's not the president.
Right.
He's just Toby. The real president is Joe Biden, that Roman Catholic. And he has honorary degrees from Jesuit universities, specifically St. Joseph's University of Philadelphia and the University of Scranton in Scranton. So he's the real president. And when they finish shoving down our throats all the horrible legislation that they have planned, which includes gun confiscation, they are going to drive this white people in this country to utter desperation and rage and anger. And then they'll be in a position to want to go for a militaristic leader who will essentially be fascist. And all of this will be blamed. All of this left-wing, quote-unquote, oppression and legislation will be blamed on the Jews. So that's what's coming for this country, as I see it. That what they did in Germany, they're going to do it here. The next thing is to successfully pull off an occupation of the country and start filling the somewhat 600 concentration camps we have here. You have to engage in a foreign two-front war. And so we're going to have a war in Iran, and we're going to have a war in the Far East with China. That's why the Jesuit General Peter Hans Kolvenbach resigned in, 2008? And this is the first time a Jesuit general, a black pope, has ever resigned. And they then elected Adolfo Nicholas. Well, Adolfo Nicholas was the provincial in Japan. He speaks perfect Japanese. He's a martial artist. He's highly in shape. He is the one that's going to be orchestrating the war in the Far East. Peter Hans Kolbenbach, he'll be orchestrating the war in the Middle East because he was the provincial in Beirut. And the provincial in Beirut was the provincial of Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt, meaning that he ran the cities of Cairo, Damascus, and Beirut. So he will be, and he speaks what, 8 languages. So he will be, he speaks Arabic. So he will be overseeing what goes on in the Middle East, while Nicholas will be overseeing what goes on in the Far East, and they will be coordinating the war on these two fronts, to the end that ultimately the U.S. will be betrayed. Joint Chiefs of Staff will betray our troops in both fronts, as Hitler's German armies east were betrayed. And then we will have our Navy scuttled, and then we will be successfully in Soviet Muslim invasion. Japan will be on the side of the Red Chinese, along with Korea and Taiwan by this time. It will be a huge Mongol invasion of the West Coast. That's why Clinton gave Long Beach to the Chinese. That's why the company that inspects every container that comes into California is a Chinese company. That's why they gave China, Red China, the locks at the Panama Canal. That's why they gave Hong Kong to Red China. So they're building Red China for the purpose of using it militarily for our invasion. By the way, Alexander Haig, the late Alexander Haig, whose brother is a Jesuit and a Knight of Malta. Alexander Haig was a Knight of Malta. Alexander Haig was a senior military advisor of the Chinese Overseas Shipping Company. So the Knights are busy building China for our coming invasion. That's why they gave all of our military secrets to Wen Ho Lee. And Wen Ho Lee then turned around and gave it to his Red Chinese handlers. CIA and Chinese Secret Intelligence Service working together. So this is what they're planning for us here. Martial law, persecution of the Jews, the two-front war, ultimate defeat, and then a Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion, the partition of the country.
My jaw here is on the floor, Eric. Absolutely mind-boggling stuff you've just dropped on me and on the listeners. Thank you so much. This was unreal. If I had to get just a little bit more specific, Eric, if you had to guess, you know, when they will touch down with the war in Iran, are we talking a few months? Are we talking still a year out? What would be your, you know, more precise timeline if you had to guess?
Well, I would say next year, after the quote-unquote election, when Barry's put back in power. Because remember, Obama hates the Shiites. Obama is a Sunni. And so he hates the Shiites. And so he's very much willing to wage a war against Iran, because in Iran, you know, it's all Shia. And there's not one Sunni mosque in Tehran, as well as there's 20,000 Jews there. 20,000 Jews to kill. So they're going to wage war into Iran. And I would say next year would be probably the time to do it, because they have 4 carrier groups there. They got they have 3 carrier, 4 carriers with the Enterprise, and I mentioned that they might sink the Enterprise to justify an invasion of Iran. And then France sent the Charles de Gaulle carrier over there. So you have 5 carriers. So they have Iran pretty well surrounded in preparation for this war. They got U.S. troops in Afghanistan, Pakistan. They got U.S. troops still in Iraq. Don't tell me they're out of there. We got 14 bases in Iraq. So it's all surrounded in preparation for this war, because Iran has to go down if the Sunni world is to be united against the West. So I would say sometime next year.
Interesting. And I had heard also, I couldn't confirm this myself yet, but I had read somewhere that Iran was also one of the few, you know, maybe 5 countries left that did not want to participate in the overall, you know, Rothschild banking system, you know, the central banking system. They're not really brought into that quite yet. Is that true?
Well, to a certain degree, you got to remember that Ahmadinejad is working for the Pope too.
Sure.
He's inciting the world to attack the Iranian people. But remember, the big bankers are not the Rothschilds. The big bankers are the Farnese's and the Borges and the Aldobrandini's. They're the gigatrillionaires. Rothschilds are nothing compared to them. So they're part of the international banking system, because you see, they're making the dinar the currency for the new caliphate. They're rebuilding Babylon. That's one of the major purposes for the war in Iraq. They're using U.S. troops to guard the rebuilding of Babylon. And so they're going to have the dinar as the currency for the new caliphate after this crusade. And the new caliphate will include Arabia, Kuwait, Iran or Iraq, Turkey, Egypt, the North Africa. The new caliphate will be spearheaded by the Muslim Brotherhood, which was created in 1928 by the Jesuits, the same year they created Opus Dei in Spain, and the Muslim Brotherhood is overseen by the CIA.
Wow. Wow. And where does the Mossad fit into this? I know they're, you know, the Israeli intelligence agency, but I see them everywhere too. Are they, you know, how do they fit into this?
Well, the Mossad was created by the CIA in 1951. So they're just the tail. The dog that wags the tail is the CIA. Mm. The CIA tells the Mossad what to do.
Got
and
it.
Remember, the government of Israel is working for the Pope. The Pope's Masonic Jewish labor Zionists were put in power by the papacy because Israel, in the eyes of the Pope, is nothing more than his revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem that was destroyed in 1291. Now it's been revived. Now they want Jerusalem most of all. In 1993, Yossi Bellin deeded all the Temple Mount to the papacy, so the papacy really owns the Temple Mount in preparation for the rebuilding of the Hebrew temple there after this crusade. So war has to go into Israel. Jews are going to die. The mosque and the Temple Mount must be destroyed. America must be blamed for the destruction of those mosques to completely unite the Sunni world against us, to kill every American they can find. And then after this crusade, then they will build the third Hebrew temple.
Wow. Man, well, we're running out of time. I can't wait till next Monday. For the new listeners, Mr. Eric Phelps has agreed to come on next Monday. We'll take a crack at this for another hour. I think I've got time for one question here. We've got Peter, who has submitted a question here about Canada. This is a good one. He says, ask Eric, what's in store for Canada in the long run? Will it be safe place to be in? Will it be martial law in Canada too? What would be maybe a safe country to run off to if not Canada?
Canada will be under martial law right along with the U.S., right along with Mexico. They're going to have their North American Union, which will be their Axis power. That's why they're bringing all the alien Roman Catholic Mexican invasions in here into the U.S., opening the borders to them. Janet Napolitano is the Dame of Malta. They're facilitating all of this for the coming forced unification of Canada, U.S., and Mexico. And so all of it will be under martial law. I recommend if you're Canadian, the best place to be is in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, that general area in the eastern part of Canada, because I believe when the invasion takes place, European forces will get that portion of Canada and the New England area of the U.S. But the historic white Protestant areas of Ontario all the way to the British Columbia is going to be occupied by the Russians and the Chinese.
Wow.
So I would just stay in the eastern portion of Canada if he's there.
Sounds good, Eric. Well, that concludes the show for tonight. Decrypted Matrix with VaticanAssassins.org. Eric John Phelps. Thank you so much, Eric. We can't wait to see you next Monday. For the listeners out there, go to VaticanAssassins.org/store to check out Eric's book. Any final words for the listeners, Eric?
No, other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Sounds good, Eric. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on. We will see you next Monday.
All right. Lord bless, Max. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
Feature story needs.